the sweep and fury of a resurrection. There's a new world a-coming. Every Sunday at this hour, WMCA, in cooperation with the Citywide Citizens Committee on Harlem, brings you a series of vivid programs on Negro life, based on the theme of Roy Otley's book, New World A-Coming. Today, in honor of Brotherhood Week, we present the story of Blood Plasma, starring Canada Lee, written, produced, and directed by Mitchell Grayson. Today marks the annual observance of Brotherhood Week. A New World A-Coming is proud to have as its honored guest Dr. Everett R. Clinchy, President of the National Conference of Christians and Jews. We present Dr. Clinchy.
It gives me a great pleasure to be here today. I wish to read a tribute which we present to this broadcasting station and to its president, Mr. Nathan Strauss. Brotherhood Week, 1945. The National Conference of Christians and Jews, an organization of Americans seeking to promote justice, amity, understanding, and cooperation among Protestants, Catholics, and Jews in the United States, presents this citation of distinguished merit to radio station WMCA. Because of its contribution to national unity in such programs as New World A-Comin', Adventures into the Mind, and other efforts consciously fostered to encourage understanding and harmony among all groups of the American people, the National Conference of Christians and Jews cites, for the approbation of all Americans, those whose inspiration, devotion, and craftsmanship have combined in this labor for support of basic American ideals. Mr. Strauss, I am happy to present to you this award.
Thank you, Dr. Clinchy. Although the award from the National Conference of Christians and Jews is made to me as president of WMCA, it rightfully belongs to all of those who have contributed toward the creation and the production of the programs which have earned the award. Speaking on their behalf as well as my own, our purpose in putting these programs on the air is to make station WMCA a force for education and for mutual understanding in New York City. We want to help to remove from our midst everything that tends to divide our people by misunderstanding, by prejudice, by ignorance. We want to cement the bonds of friendship and of fellowship. WMCA is dedicated to the principle that there shall be no discrimination against individuals or groups because they differ in the color of their skins or in the color of their political or religious views. We want to make real and effective the words of Thomas Jefferson, equal and exact justice to all men of every race or persuasion. This means equality of economic opportunity, equality of educational opportunity, equality at the ballot box. This means the end of the poll tax and the death of Jim Crow. We deem it an honor and a privilege to have earned public recognition by a great organization working in the same field, the National Conference of Christians and Jews.
Thank you, Mr. Strauss and Dr. Clinchy. And now, the story of Blood Plasma. The time is the late summer of 1940. The scene, a small hospital adjoining a British airfield near the coast of England.
Attention all pilots. Attention all pilots. RAF control reports enemy planes approaching from the northeast, heading toward London. All pilots take off immediately for interception.
I say, look at them, Dr. Chase. There they go again.
I don't see how they do it, Wingate. Some of those boys have gone up after Jerry at least 10 times today. And no sooner do they return to the field than off they go again.
Well, if we can last through this blitz, we'll last through anything.
If we do, we'll owe everything to the boys in the RAF. They've done so much with so little. It's almost unbelievable.
Dr. Chase.
Yes, nurse.
Dr. Chase, we're running short of blood, sir.
What's that?
We have only a few more ampules left in the hospital refrigerator.
Running short of blood? How in the world did that happen?
We've admitted 31 wounded flyers today and administered blood transfusions to all of them.
How many ampules do we have left, nurse?
A half dozen, sir. One pint each.
A half dozen ampules. Great Scott, we'll have to get some blood right away. Wingate, call Dr. Beatty. He's in charge of the RAF blood transfusion service at the Air Ministry. Tell him it's vital that we have at least 200 ampules of blood delivered here immediately.
Yes, Dr. Chase. Give me Dr. Beatty at the Air Industry. Quickly, please.
Nurse, this is serious.
Hello, Dr. Beatty.
Without blood, we won't be able to treat the next group of wounded.
I would have reported it sooner, sir. But we're shorthanded, and I was attending the patient.
Of course. We'll have some blood delivered here within the next hour, nurse.
Almost all our entire supply on casualties, yesterday and today. What is that?
Will you repeat that again, please? Well, I'm sorry. There seems to be so much noise in your office, and the sirens are blowing here.
I'm sorry you can't hear me. Is this better? What I said is that we've practically run out of blood here ourselves. There were such great demands, our reserve supply is almost completely gone. But as soon as we get some more blood, we'll rush it to you at once. Yes. Yes, thank you.
Damn it, damn it, damn it.
Was that another call for blood, Dr. Bailey?
Yes, another and another and another. Here are men in the RAF, outnumbered by the jetties and planes 10-1, going up time after time, getting shot up badly, returning to their field, suffering from bullet wounds and shock, from loss of blood. The very fate of the world rests on those boys being able to get back up in the air at once to hold off the jetties. And here we are with almost all of our reserves of blood gone. It's horrible. We need blood.
Any solution?
Solution? Look at this desk, piled up with letters requesting blood, more blood. Here, look at this drawer, filled with more letters.
And we've already organized an emergency project to get some blood.
But it may take a week, perhaps longer. And then it may be too late. Wait a minute. This letter.
What is it, Dr. Beatty?
This letter. Yes, it's from an American, former medical student of mine. Worked under me when I was associate professor of anatomy at McGill University in Canada. He's a brilliant young Negro doctor who's now assistant professor of surgery at Howard University. He's been writing to me about his experiments with blood plasma and blood banks at the Presbyterian Hospital in New York. This may be the answer.
What's your idea, sir?
My idea is to send him an urgent cable asking him to send us as many ampules of blood plasma as he has on hand. Perhaps we can get 5,000 pints immediately.
Yes, yes, a good idea. By the way, what's this young doctor's name?
Drew. Dr. Charles Drew.
Could you secure 5,000 ampules dried plasma for transfusion work immediately and follow this by equal quantities in 3 to 4 weeks? Full stop. Contents each ampule should represent about one pint whole plasma. Signed, Beatty, Chief Transfusion Service, RAF. John, what do you make of this cablegram?
Good heavens, Charlie. There aren't 5,000 ampules of dried plasma in the whole world.
Yeah, I think it must be terribly serious over there, else Beatty wouldn't have sent this cable.
But 5,000 ampules?
Yeah. How much plasma do we have on hand?
Look in the refrigerator and find out.
Come on. I'd like to be able to help Beatty in whatever way possible. He's one of the finest men I've ever known, besides being one of the ablest doctors.
Here we are. Let me get this lock open. Now, we have 6 rows. 12 pints in each row, that's 72 pints.
Yeah, 72 pints. That's only a drop in the bucket.
To start.
Yeah. You know, I just thought of something, John.
What's that?
You and I have been experimenting with plasma and blood banks for 2 years. Both of us are comparatively unknown. But if 72 pints of blood can be flown across the ocean to England, we could prove that blood could be flown anywhere, to any battlefront in the world.
Say, that's revolutionary.
John, do you believe America will go to war? Do you think we'll get into it?
Now what?
Just this. If we do, can you visualize the importance of plasma banks in saving the lives of soldiers?
Yes.
John, this could very well be the beginning of a vast new development for banking blood, storing it, having it on hand for emergencies anywhere in the world. I see this as something big, John. Something of which our own government should be aware immediately.
You think Mr. Bush could help? He's head of the Blood Transfusion Association. He's in charge of finances here at the hospital. Besides, he knows all the important people in Washington.
Yes, of course, of course. Mr. Bush may be just the man to take this idea to. Let's go down to his office and talk to him at once.
Hello,
gentlemen. Certainly I'm glad to see you again. How are you?
How are you?
Fine, thank you.
How is Howard University treating you, Drew? Have they made you a professor yet?
No, not yet, Mr. Bush, but I'm fairly young.
Oh, you'll make the grade on anything you set your mind to. I'm sure of that.
Yes, sir. Dr. Scudder and I have set our minds to something brand new now, sir.
Anything I can do to help?
We think you can do a great deal, Mr. Bush.
Oh, what's it all about?
Well, I'd like you to read this cable, sir.
Who's it from?
Dr. John Beatty, Chief of Royal Air Force, Transfusion Service.
Transfusion Service?
Yes, sir.
Let me see. 5,000 ampules, 1 week, 5,000 more, 1 pint each. This was sent to you at Howard University?
Yes, sir.
I see.
Apparently there's a crisis in England as far as blood is concerned.
Did you do anything about it?
Oh, I came up from Washington on the afternoon train and met Dr. Scudder in the laboratory upstairs.
We have 72 pints already to send to Dr. Beatty.
Good work. That's the way I like things done. Cut through red tape. Take care of the problem.
Thank you, sir.
But let's see, 72 pints. That's far short of 5,000.
Yes, sir, that's why we've come to see you, Mr. Bush.
Well, I think this is a project for the American Red Cross. How it's worked out can be determined later. The thing we must do now is to get some Washington officials interested and start the ball rolling. We don't know yet whether our country will get into this war, but if it does, we should have mass plasma bank in operation. We have a chance to organize it now and not be caught napping later on. I'll get to work on it with the Red Cross immediately. All right, gentlemen. Now, let me sum up the points which we've all agreed upon. First, the Blood Transfusion Association, with the cooperation of the American Red Cross, we'll launch this project. We'll collect blood from the civilian population of New York, remove the plasma, and ship it across the Atlantic to be used by the British in the treatment of both civilian and military war casualties. Now, second, Plasma for Britain will be a voluntary organization with offices in the New York Academy of Medicine building, and Dr. Charles Drew will serve as full-time medical supervisor. Dr. Drew will coordinate the medical aspects of the program, establish uniform records, check on standard equipment, and supervise technical criteria to ensure the safety of the final blood plasma product. Is that agreed upon by all? Yes. And then, gentlemen, if we're all agreed, then the next thing to do is to roll up our sleeves and go to work. The meeting is adjourned.
Mr. Bush? I think you accomplished a great deal tonight.
Well, thank you, Mr. Voorhees. We're counting on your hospital for full cooperation.
Long Island College Hospital will get busy at once.
You carry this meeting off beautifully, Mr. Bush.
Thank you, Dr. Drew.
When you start something, you plunge in like a steamroller. But you certainly get things done.
Well, I arranged this meeting, but the most difficult part of it will be from now on. It'll be up to you to make a success of the project.
Oh, we won't fail, sir.
I'm counting on you, Dr. Drew. Because if the day ever comes when our government enters the war, as it may, our armed forces will need every bit of knowledge and information that you'll be able to gather. Now, get yourself some sleep tonight so you can start bright and early in the morning.
Come into my office, Miss Mason, and bring your notebook, please.
Yes, Dr. Drew.
We've been working on this Plasma for Britain project nearly 2 weeks now. Things have been going pretty well, but this report from Dr. Melanie and Miss Johnson at the Central Laboratory. Have you read it?
Yes, I have.
The final success of this project depends on eliminating infection of plasma completely. Yes, but how?
That's a real problem, sir.
Yeah, one way, I think, would be to standardize the methods of culture.
Yes.
Miss Mason, send a wire to all of the heads of all the blood plasma units in the hospitals cooperating with us.
All of them?
There are only eight.
Yes, but well, they're the top eight men in the entire city. And that's practically the whole world.
Yeah, it's the only way to lick this problem. Call them all in here and together. Sit down and thresh this thing out until we find the answer.
How would you like to word the telegram?
I require your immediate assistance to help standardize plasma culture process.
Meeting tomorrow, Academy of Medicine, 8 p.m. Signed, Dr. Charles Drew, Director of Plasma for Britain.
Provide a dustproof hood or room, preferably air conditioned, and bathe in ultraviolet light at all hospitals where plasma is pooled.
All persons handling the distribution of pooled blood should use surgical technique. Wear sterile gloves, gown, cap, and mask.
Where a suction for pooling is created by motor and pump apparatus, use a water trap interposed in the line to prevent a backwash of contaminated air.
Use a stainless steel 120 mesh filter in the line between the donor bottle and the pooling bottle.
Dr. Drew?
Yes, Miss Mason?
Congratulations, Dr. Drew. The latest analysis by Central Laboratory reports contamination zero.
You've done a good job, Dr. Drew. And I'm sorry the project's ended.
Well, we accomplished what we originally set out to do, Mr. Bush. We supplied Britain with blood plasma until she was able to fill her own needs over there.
What are your plans now that the job's done?
I haven't had time to think about it. But I know what I'd like to do.
Yeah?
Return to my teaching job at Howard University.
No, you can't do that.
I beg your pardon, sir?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was trying to get you to tell me what I've been holding back from telling you.
I don't understand.
Dr. Drew, you've done a marvelous job with blood plasma for Britain. The American Red Cross now wants you to set up a similar project for our own United States Army and Navy.
Why? That's quite an honor, sir.
Well, it is. And it's more than that. It's a challenge. They want you to set up the first model blood bank in the country. To train others who will go out and use your system to obtain blood everywhere in the States. The Negro people, and whites too, can rightfully be proud of your contribution to the defense effort of America.
In that case, I guess I can't refuse.
Then you'll accept the proposition?
Yes, sir.
Fine. It's fine.
Hello? Yes, this is Dr. Drew.
Oh, hello, Dr. Taylor, yes. Yes, I want you in on that meeting tonight. I hope you'll be able to join the organization. Yes, go on the payroll. We want the best men in the country, full time. See you tonight. Hello? Yes, this is Dr. Drew. Who? Oh, Colonel Booth. How are you, sir? How many donors today? 300? Excellent. That sets a new record, doesn't it? Yes, we can handle them. Our staff is growing, sir. We've already collected about 2,500 pints of plasma. No, sir, no breakdowns yet. Everything's working smoothly. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Goodbye.
Mr. Baldwin of Westinghouse Refrigerators here to see you by appointment, Dr. Drew.
Send him in, Miss Mason.
This way, Mr. Baldwin.
Thank you, ma'am.
I'm pleased to meet you, Mr. Baldwin.
How do you do, Doctor? Oh, mighty busy shop you have here.
Yes, we've grown so rapidly, we need a brand new refrigerator to store all our plasma bottles.
Anything wrong with the refrigerator you've got now?
No, except that it's too small.
Too small? Why, it's designed to hold 200 bottles, Doctor.
Yes, we need a new one that's designed to hold 1,000.
You mean you've collected that much blood?
We will in time, but we have to plan for it now.
I see. Well, it's a big order.
Can you do it?
Now, how soon do you need it?
We're racing against time here. Every minute is precious.
Well, I think you can have it if... I don't like to say this because it means calling in our competitors.
Yes, what the if?
If the other big refrigerator companies, General Electric, Kelvinator, and all the rest, pool their best patents. If we all do that, we'll give you the biggest and best refrigeration system in the world.
I'll leave that in your hands. You have the Red Cross authorization to go ahead and make it.
That's a beauty, Dr. Drew. Never saw one quite like it before.
That's because there's never been one like it before, Dr. Taylor.
Certainly holds a lot of blood.
We'll have hundreds of these refrigerators in all key cities throughout America.
You deserve a lot of credit, Dr. Drew.
Oh, not so much. I didn't do it alone.
Well, you can be modest if you like, but you directed the work and you saw that it was done.
Dr. Taylor, That's something I'd like to talk to you about.
What's that?
Now, I've been offered a full professorship in surgery at Howard University. It's what I've always wanted.
Oh.
At the same time, I'll be made chief surgeon at Freedman's Hospital in Washington. I want to go back to Howard. My life work is there.
But if you go, who'll take over here?
You. What? You've been the most capable assistant throughout all these trying months. I want to ask your permission to recommend you as the next director of the American Red Cross Blood Bank.
Well, will it be as simple as that?
The American Red Cross will be lucky to get you.
Well, when do you plan to leave?
When we get 5,000 pints of plasma in this refrigerator.
You haven't many to go.
No. Well, perhaps another 2 or 3 weeks, I guess.
We'll certainly miss you. But on the other hand, I can understand why you're so anxious to take the Howard offer. It's a great opportunity.
Yeah, we'll keep your fingers crossed until we get that 5,000 pints of plasma.
I'll keep my fingers and both hands crossed.
Well, friends, this is it. The 5,000th pint of plasma. The applause should be for you. You, Mr. Bush, Dr. Scudder, Dr. Taylor, Mr. Voorhees, Miss Mason, and all the hundreds of doctors, nurses, technicians, and scientists who have given their tireless energies and magnificent efforts to make the first phase of this project a success. In this blood bank, which we helped to create, there's the blood of all people. Protestant, Catholic, Jew, Mexican, Chinese, Negro. In a way, that's highly symbolic to me. It is the strength of America that is here. The real life of America. If the occasion ever arises when this strength is needed to give new life to Americans, we shall be prepared. And they shall have that new life. And the greatest honor shall be yours. You. You pioneers of the American Red Cross Blood Bank.
Thank you, Canada Lee, for your truly great performance in this afternoon's play, The Story of Blood Plasma.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. Dr. Drew returned to Howard University in October 1941, long before the policy of segregating Negro blood from white blood was established. Dr. Drew was opposed to this policy and went on record saying so, as did every decent democratic American. Actually, scientifically, there is no difference in human blood, white or Negro. It's ironical, to say the least, that the record of such a splendid piece of medical work has been marred by bringing in the race issue. We do not overlook that issue. We must continue to urge a change in policy. But meanwhile, men are dying on the battlefields of the world, and blood is needed. It is vitally needed. Today, the immediate issue is getting blood from all people, so that our boys' lives can be saved. So, I have a suggestion. How many people in our radio audience will volunteer to donate a pint of blood as a tribute to the work of this great Negro doctor, scientist, and surgeon, Dr. Charles Drew? When this program is off the air, will you telephone me here at station WMCA, and I'll arrange an appointment for you. The number is Circle 6, 2200.
The Story of Blood Plasma, starring Canada Lee, was written, directed, and produced by Mitchell Grayson. New World A-Coming is based on Roy Otley's prize-winning bestseller for the same name. Music by James Lazito is conducted by Jerry Sears. The theme song was composed by Duke Ellington. Members of the cast today included Loreen Scott, Joe DeSantis, Joe Julian, Sanford Bickert, Tom Hoyer, Alan Devitt, and Alex Scorby. Your announcer, George Willard. This is America's leading independent station.